Welcome to the History of the Caribbean audiobook. If you haven't already, we invite you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss a story. Today, we're honored to bring you The Drumbeat That Made Empires Tremble. Get ready to immerse yourself in a powerful narrative that goes beyond music into legacy, resistance, and roots. Because here, our mission is simple: to keep our culture alive, one story at a time. The forest held its breath. In the hush of dusk, just before the stars remembered their names, the Maroon Hills pulsed with a silence that wasn't peace, it was preparation. Leaves shivered though there was no wind. The birds had already gone quiet. The air was thick with waiting. And then, a beat. Low. Steady. Like a heart learning its rhythm again. Another beat. Then another. Not rushed. Not chaotic. A language. A code. A call. That was Nanny. Not the Nanny in textbooks or on money. The real one, the woman of flame and forest, the rebel priestess, war strategist, and spiritual general who didn't just fight the British. She bent the world to listen. And when she drummed, even the trees leaned in. They say Nanny's drum could speak. Not metaphorically, literally. The British called it superstition. The Maroons called it memory. Rhythm, after all, is older than speech. It was our first language. It was how we cried before we had words. How we danced before we had flags. How we survived when silence was the only thing allowed. Nanny understood this. She knew the body remembers what the tongue forgets. So she used the drum not only to summon her warriors, but to wake up the land. Imagine it. She sits cross-legged on the forest floor, her skin slick with sweat, wrapped in a red cloth that once belonged to her mother's mother. Her fingers hover above the taut goat skin stretched over carved cedar. Around her, the forest doesn't move, it listens. Ghost-like warriors crouch between trees, eyes wide, weapons ready. They don't need orders. They wait for her rhythm. She closes her eyes and strikes. Three soft beats. A pause. One sharp strike. Then the pattern again. To anyone else, it's percussion. To the Maroons, it means enemy approaching. Retreat to Second Ridge. Prepare trap. This was guerrilla warfare wrapped in music. This was strategy embedded in soul. This was how empires got lost in the bush, confused by rhythm. The British could not understand how barefoot rebels, outnumbered and underarmed, continued to win. They had muskets, horses, maps. They had orders sent from London, letters sealed in wax, regiments trained in open field warfare. But none of that mattered here. Because here, in the tangled heart of Jamaica's interior, Nanny was the terrain. And the drum? It was her tongue of thunder. The drumbeat traveled faster than messengers. It crossed rivers without getting wet. It reached hilltops before the birds. Nanny's codes were sacred, passed down only to the warriors who could be trusted to die with them if necessary. No ink, no paper, just vibration. One beat meant move. Two meant listen. Three meant vanish. A long roll meant strike. A double roll meant decoy. She could direct entire battalions through forested paths using nothing but sound. And in the night, when the British heard it echoing through the jungle, they often mistook it for rain or thunder. Until it was too late, the Maroons were not soldiers in the European sense. They didn't march. They moved. Silently. Like smoke. Their bodies painted in ash and charcoal. Their hearts drumming in time with the forest. But the real power, the real pulse, was always her. Nanny didn't always speak in words. But when she drummed, the ancestors answered. Let's pause and talk about that for a moment. Because to truly understand what made Queen Nanny's drum so powerful, you have to understand Obeah. Not the Hollywood version. Not the colonizer's fear. But the ancient science of energy, nature, and spirit passed from West Africa to the Caribbean in chains, and then reborn in resistance. Obeah is not superstition. It is survival knowledge. The ability to manipulate spiritual forces in alignment with the land and its people. It is healing. It is cursing. It is calling. It is cloaking. And Queen Nanny, she was a master practitioner. When she beat her drum, she wasn't just sounding signals to humans. She was summoning the unseen. She was drawing energy from the roots. She was communicating with the dead. She was aligning warriors not only with strategy, but with spirit. The forest heard her and obeyed. There's a story, one passed down quietly in Maroon circles, never written, only told. One night, a British regiment advanced quietly into the hills under cover of fog. They believed they had caught the rebels sleeping. They moved with caution, careful not to light torches. but as they reached a narrow ravine, they heard something. Tap, tap, tap. It started softly, then grew louder. Then all at once, the fog parted, and there she was. Nanny, alone, standing in the center of the ravine with a drum hanging from her hip. She didn't run. She didn't speak. She raised her palms and played. The rhythm, sharp, deliberate, commanding, echoed off the walls. The soldiers raised their muskets, but their hands trembled. Some dropped them. Some turned. Some screamed. They fired blindly. And when the smoke cleared, Nanny was gone. Only the drum remained, still vibrating. Myth? Maybe. But what is myth if not memory wrapped in metaphor? And Nanny was never just flesh. She was fire. And fire, once lit, does not forget how to burn. We often speak of revolution in terms of guns and flags. But for Nanny, the most powerful weapon she wielded was sound. The British wrote reports about her magic. They said she could catch bullets, that she vanished into mist, that her shadows walked without feet. But what they feared most was the drum, because they didn't understand it, because it was ours, because it could move armies without raising a voice, because it reminded them that this land was not theirs and never would be. Let's talk about what the drum meant beyond the battlefield. To the Maroon people, it was a way of organizing life. It called people to birth, to mourning, to meals, to meetings. It was used to announce weather changes, deaths, arrivals. It was used to welcome the spirits during rituals. Every child in Moortown knew the feel of a drum beneath their feet before they knew the word for sky. It was embedded, in heartbeat, in language, in breath. So when Nanny drummed before war, it wasn't just instruction. It was ceremony. It was transformation. It was remembrance. Even now, centuries later, the drum is sacred in Maroon culture. You do not play it casually. You do not mimic its patterns without permission. To beat the drum is to invoke the past. And when the elders hear certain rhythms echo from the hills, they pause. Because some believe she still drums. That in the fog between dusk and night, Nanny returns. Not to fight, but to remind us. That rhythm was our first weapon. That freedom has a frequency. That empires may build walls, but they cannot contain sound. So what do we carry from this story? What is the insight worth passing on? It is this. Your power may not be understood by the world. Use it anyway. Your rhythm, your strange, sacred, ancestral rhythm, might be your revolution. Your silence might be a strategy. Your sound might be a signal. What the enemy mocks may be the very thing that saves you. Nanny did not wait for permission to become divine. She beat her drum until the mountain remembered her name. And even now, when you feel that beat in your chest, when you move your feet to a rhythm no one taught you, know that it is not random. It is her, still drumming, still leading, still making empires tremble.